Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I hope you liven up a little more than that. I like an interactive audience in the morning, so hope you wake up. Thank you for the warm welcome to your church. And yes, my last name did change in September, so I'm really excited to have Joe with me here this morning. Thanks, Pastor Johnson. I've been learning more Spanish as a Garcia than I ever did as a Nelson. It's been quite the adventure. So I used to be an acro gymnast a while ago. And when we were about to throw a really big trick that took a lot of strength or a lot of skill, we had this phrase that we would use. We would say, go big or go home. And we said it because there's a lot of tricks that you throw as a gymnast where if you don't give it everything you've got, if you bail halfway through, there's a lot of room for injury there. And I'm sure you've all seen lots of America's Funniest Home Videos where that didn't end up so well for people. They backflipped off a car or whatever, and they bail halfway through, land on their neck, their head. It's very scary, right? So we would say, go big or go home, and it means give it everything you've got to this trick so that neither of us gets hurt, right? And I remember very distinctly, it's ingrained in my memory, the time that I learned how to do a toe pitch backflip. And I'm obviously not going to do it for you here today. It takes a partner, and I'm out of practice now. But the basic maneuver that happens is your base kind of stands here, and he gets a good stance, and he sticks his hands right here. And you run at your base, and you stick your foot in his hands, and he launches you. And you stick your hands on his shoulders and you launch off of him, and he gives you that height that you need so you can throw a backflip in front of his face about 5 or 6 feet off the ground. It's not for the faint of heart, let me tell you. The first time I was getting ready to run at my partner so that he could launch me in the air 6 feet above the mat, I looked at him and he looked at me and he said, go big or go home. Let's do this, or let's not, right? The phrase also kind of reminds me of my cat, and I'm glad that there's some kitty lovers here in the congregation this morning. So my cat is kind of a special little thing because he only has 3 legs, and he has no tail. He was actually my husband's cat before I met my husband. Little kitty's name is Titan. And he's just the cutest thing. He's a little bit of a fluff ball, and he kind of hops like a bunny because he's missing that back leg. And when I met my husband, he just hopped right up to me, and he was so cute. And my husband explained how he'd been in an accident, and nobody had wanted him. And so Joe took him to the vet and nursed him back to health. And man, wasn't that attractive as I was getting to know my husband. Well, now that we're married, he's our kitty, and we call him our little gas planet because his core is very, very small, but he's so fluffy that he looks much bigger than he actually is, right? Despite only having 3 legs, Titan leaps and jumps after his favorite thing in all the world, this beat-up red shoelace. It doesn't matter what other toys we get for him, what other little fuzzy mice or, you know, jingle bells or whatever. Titan doesn't care because the world for him narrows down to this beat up red shoelace. And let me tell you, you have not seen a cat jump until you have seen my 3-legged kitty launch himself into the air after this red shoelace. He's not very good at catching himself because he only has 3 legs. So then he'll flop on the ground and he'll scramble back up, and you toss the shoelace again and he'll leap up in the air. And it's like the most reckless abandon I've ever seen in a cat. So as you're walking past the shoelace, he runs after you and he sits right by the shoelace expecting you to play with him. And you almost can't get anything done in the house because he's so excited about his red shoelace. And every time I play with him, it reminds me of that phrase, go big or go home. Because like I said, the world narrows down to that beat-up red shoelace for my kitty cat. There's a couple different ways that you can say that phrase. Go in or go all out. Give everything you've got. But I like the phrase, go big or go home. Maybe it's because it was burned into my memory from taking my life in my own hands, backflipping over my partner, or because it reminds me of my kitty, I'm not sure which. But I like that phrase, go big or go home, because it's a little more intense on the commitment scale, right? I think that it's a really great phrase for thinking about our relationship with God. Like my kitty, you kind of need to be all in or all out, right? With your relationship with God. So I do therapy now full time that I've graduated, and sometimes I do couples therapy. And I have couples come in sometimes, and they have this idea, and I really hate this, that a relationship is 50-50. Let me tell you, it is not. A successful relationship is 100-100. You've got to give it everything you've got, and they do too. So when people come to me and they're asking for premarital advice or advice in their marriage, I say, go big or go home. If you're looking at getting married, go big or go home. Commit all the way or don't do it, right? The sad thing is that I think sometimes we commit halfway to God. Sometimes I think my cat has more commitment to his shoelace than we do to our relationship with God. And maybe it's because you're giving up the part of you that's okay. It's the part of you that's comfortable surrendering to God. But it takes 100% to be in a successful relationship with him. At Christmas time, kind of the main message of this season is that Christ sent his son, right, to die for us. And that gift is really what we focus on during this season. And that's beautiful. Don't get me wrong. It's gorgeous. But I think that we're tempted to passively accept that gift. And the thing about salvation is that it's not a regular Christmas gift in which you open the wrapping paper and you say, oh, how nice, and you let it sit on your shelf. Salvation is something you actively receive. Say, salvation is something you actively receive. Something you actively receive. Some of you weren't with the program. It's okay. You'll have another chance. It doesn't mean that you have to earn salvation. That was kind of a discussion that some of you were having earlier. I didn't pipe in because I knew I'd get my turn, right? So but it's not something that you necessarily have to do, but that doesn't mean that you have to accept it and then do nothing with it. You see where I'm going? Okay. Jesus said that the most important command in the scriptures was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. So this Christmas season, oh, did we get sound? Wow. Okay, that changed a lot. Thanks. This Christmas season, I'm going to use Christmas songs to talk about how you can go big or go home with God, how you can commit to that gift that he gave you, how you can meet him, not just halfway, but 100%. So if you think that you might have less commitment to God than my cat does to his shoelace, this sermon is for you. I'm going to have another prayer really fast. Dear Father in heaven, God, thank you so much for bringing your presence to join with us. I ask that you be with me, make my hands yours, not mine, and my words as well. I ask that we be receptive to what you have to offer us today. In your name, amen. First song I'm going to play for you is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. And it's something I've actually played here before, some of you might remember, but I can't seem to let go of it. It's so compelling. And I think that part of it is this melody, which is really a mournful cry out to God. Part of it is actually in the lyrics. It's a direct plea for God to join with humanity. And so that brings us to our first point. If you want to go big or go home with God, you have to invite him into every area of your life with a yearning that surpasses everything else. Most Christmas music celebrates the birth of Christ as a baby, and that's great. O Come, O Come, Emmanuel kind of takes us to a time before that. It really reminds us of that period in which the Jews didn't have a savior. And some of it is definitely that that longing to not be under Roman occupation anymore. But a lot of it is just this earnest yearning for Christ to come and meet with humanity. The song reflects a time when God's people cried out, ardently for his presence in their lives. And every time I hear this song or I play it, it overcomes me. And it's almost too much because the intensity is so strong. And I have to ask myself, when did we stop crying out for God? When married people stop saying, I love you, I appreciate you, come, let's do this thing together, that's when the relationship starts failing. When was the last time you said to God, I love you, I appreciate you, I want to do life together, come spend some time with me, let's do this thing together? I think that people get in the habit of asking for things when they pray, which is fine, but they get out of practice with pleading for his presence. Here are the lyrics in case you need a guide for the next time you plead for God's presence. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou Lord of might, to thy tribes on Sinai's height, in ancient times did give the law, in cloud and majesty and awe. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny, from the depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night, and death's dark shadows put to flight. O come, thou key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home. Make safe the way that leads on high, and close the path to misery. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in her ways to go. Here, O come, desire of nations, bind in one the hearts of all mankind. Bid thou our sad divisions cease, and be thyself our King of peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. In order to give him everything, 100%, you have to have a burning in your heart that surpasses everything else. You need to invite him into all the areas of your life. You need to want him more than you want anything else. So as I play this song, I encourage you to reflect on David's words in the Psalms. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. Thank you. Sometimes I help teach dance lessons. And sometimes I teach people to waltz. And there's a lot of mistakes that people make, but one of them is holding their partner too far away. I'm actually going to use my husband here for a second to demonstrate for me. I actually taught him to waltz for our wedding. A lot of people, this is a correct waltz position here. This close, you see? A lot of people like to try to waltz out here. See how that could be a problem? Thanks. The problem is that people have this thing called personal space. And in order to successfully waltz with a partner, you have to give up your personal space and share it, right? In order for that dance to be successful. We each have a personal space, a comfort zone, if you will. But it's especially strong when it comes to stuff with God. See, here is the pattern of my life. Here are my finances. Here are the things that I'm okay with giving to God. And outside of that is where life gets hard, right? Where it gets tricky giving it over to God. But if you want to dance with God, if you want to have a relationship with Him, if you want to go big or go home, you have to exit your personal space and step into His. You have to move out of your comfort zone. So I'm going to play this version of We Three Kings, which is combined with the Arabian dance from the Nutcracker. Daylene gave it to me like 5 years ago, and we're just now playing it this year, but we were kind of waiting for a spot where it fit. And it is perfect for this sermon because the Magi really did the go big or go home thing. So we're gonna talk about that. You know, they're really interesting because biblically we don't actually know that much about them. Matthew says that they were from the east and they followed the star, and that's about all we know. But that doesn't mean that we can't read between the lines. So we do know that they were kind of the only group of people to follow the star from a long way away. We see the shepherds there kind of more locally with the angels and stuff, but the Magi are kind of the only group of people that we really see having traveled a long, long distance following the star. They also quote Jesus' prophecy to Herod, so we know that they studied it, right? You know, they could have sent their gifts with servants, like any other rich guys of that time. But they went personally to go see Christ. They left the comfort of their own country in order to go meet with Christ. Because something about Him and His prophecy was so compelling to them that they were willing to step outside their comfort zone to become more intimate with Him. So I want to challenge you, what are you willing to do to step outside your comfort zone and meet with Christ? The Spirit moves outside of our comfort zone. And in stepping out of your personal space, out of your comfort zone, it allows you to meet with God intimately in a way that you would never have otherwise, right? The wise men would never have met Jesus the way they met Him if they didn't leave their comfort zone. So if you want to stay in the bubble of your own comfort, you're going to miss out on some of the adventures that God will take you on. Many of us have felt God tugging at our hearts and have resisted in one way or another because the comfort zone was more attractive. What is God calling you to do today that you have previously refused Him? And I love those wise men, go big or go home. The lyrics actually say, westward leading, still proceeding. Like, we're getting even further away from home, but we're still going for it because the pursuit of Christ has overcome everything else until it's all that matters. So the Bible tells us they presented Christ with, anybody know? Gold, frankincense, and... You still awake? Gold, frankincense, and? There we go. I know the last song was really soothing, but like, come back with me. So some of the most expensive materials of their time. The other thing that's interesting about them is that the Bible tells us they were warned in a dream not to return the same way that they came, right? To avoid Herod on the way home. So it kind of says to me that not only were they open enough to receive God's influence in their life to go after him in the first place, but they were open enough that he guided their journey on the way home. God calls you to step outside your comfort zone, to go on an adventure with him. And he wants to speak to you, to direct your adventures as well. And that can turn it into the most beautiful dance with God, the most beautiful adventure with him. So I'm going to challenge you. What's keeping you in your comfort zone? And are you willing to get out of it to be with him? The Little Drummer Boy is the third song I'm going to play. And I'll warn you that it's an African version of this. So if you kind of like are inclined to wiggle in your seat a little bit, it's natural. Let it happen. It's really fun. I actually played a different version of this just last week, and I wasn't 100% satisfied with it. It wasn't as fun as I wanted it to be. And I found this Thursday night. So I've only been playing this for 2 days. It's the syncopation for African rhythm is so different, but so much fun. So I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. The Little Drummer Boy is kind of an interesting song because, unlike the story of the Magi, this one's not in the Bible. But I think that it can shed some light on the night that Christ was born. So I hope you enjoy it with me. The song tells us about this drummer boy. It's told from his perspective, right? And he's looking around and all of these people are going to see Christ. And he's like, wow, okay, let me go too. And the lyrics say, our finest gifts we bring to lay before the king when we come. And I can just imagine this small child being so excited and so overwhelmed with everything that he sees. Because the beautiful thing about children's hearts is that they're easily overcome, right? And I can just imagine him sitting there in all the splendor of the king. And then he sees everyone else's gifts. And it's in that moment when he sees Christ and he sees what everyone else has brought that the boy realizes that he is broken and he is poor. And you may have had a similar experience standing before our king. That may be a place in life where you're at right now. So he's inviting you to give 100% to this relationship. And you look at him and you say, okay, but I'm not sure you're going to want what I have. I don't know what I have to offer you. Why would you want me? You have people who love you, who are more talented, have more power, have more money, whatever. Why do you still want me if this is what I have to give you? The drummer boy says, I have no gifts that are fit to lay before a king. By the way, in all of the cartoons and the pictures, the drum that he has is kind of this polished Western kind of a drum. In reality, in that time, if he had been so poor, it probably would have been something that was handmade, a piece of hide stretched over whatever he could find that would resonate. And it's in that moment when he looks down at his handmade drum and he says, I have nothing to give you. The good news is that when you stand before God in your inadequacy, he says, I'll take the drum. Repeat after me, I'll take the drum. There we go, with conviction. Whatever you have, whatever time, whatever talents, whatever you possess that you've somehow evaluated as less than, that's what I want. If that's your 100%, then that's what I'll take. And that's all that I care about. The boy realizes that even though he thinks he's brought less than the others have somehow, it's all he's got to give. So he stands in the presence of his God, and he worships him in the only way that he knows how. I played my drum for him. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. I played my best for him. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. And as a musician, I kind of have to point out that throughout the whole song, he says that over and over again. It's his drummer rhythm that's ingrained into the song. Pa-rum-pa-pum-pum. It's infused in the entire song because he lives and breathes everything that he is giving to God. The thing that he is offering his king is literally the essence of his soul, because he's got nothing else. Have you been thinking about what you can offer God? In this relationship where you're supposed to be bringing 100% to the table, what is that 100%? What does it look like for you? Maybe you've been holding back because it doesn't seem good enough or it seems insignificant. But see, it doesn't matter what you're bringing to the table. God is the king and he needs nothing, right? He just cares that it's everything that you've got. And the little drummer boy gives us this sneak peek into what happens when you go big or go home. He smiled at me and my drum. that didn't get you moving, I don't know what will. Man, I'm fretting that crease up here too. There's a couple spots where my tables are put together, and if they're not exactly level, the bells roll, so I've been fighting it all day, but praise the Lord, none have rolled yet. I was telling Daley, and I said, it's an imperfect science, and she said, it's an art. Right. It's funny, when my dad is ever with me, when he performs, he's a mathematician, and he's been a house builder, and he comes in with his level, and he sticks it on the table, and a little more intense about it than I am, but he makes sure that it happens. So the last song I have for you isn't based off a hymn or a Christmas song, full disclosure. It's a composition of an original work by Modest Mussorgsky. It's kind of a mouthful. It's from Pictures of an Exhibition, if any of you have ever heard of that piece. It's a lesser-known kind of romance. Is that a romantic area? Johnson's will help me a little bit. Was that romantic era? Mussorgsky? Yeah? Okay. Close. Yeah? All right. That was pretty good for not having looked it up. I actually didn't look that up, so nice. Anyways, lesser known post-romantic era piece. But the reason that I chose it for you today isn't because of the origin of the song or who did it or the lyrics. There are no lyrics. It's instrumental. It's because of the feeling that the song produces, and I hope that you enjoy it as much as I do. It's so expansive. And every time I hear it, I feel like it just rips my chest cavity apart. Ah, it just fills me with the glory of God. I'm so excited to play it. But I think it's a good pattern for what we've been talking about today. Because getting into a relationship with God is a process. It's hard giving your life to Christ, yeah? If it were easy, everyone would do it, right? Giving your life to Christ is a process. And sometimes those first steps with him are kind of tentative and kind of gentle. And you'll hear the sweet piano there at the beginning. But you cry out to God. You say, O come, Emmanuel, into my heart. Join with me. Be here with me. I want to have a relationship with you. Let's dance. Romans 8:14-17 says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies within our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, we are his heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So the way that he takes care of us and nurtures us is beautiful, but we can't stay with the soft piano chords forever because eventually he's going to call us to get out of our comfort zone, to join him in a dance, to join him on an adventure. And he's going to say, go big or go home. Romans 12:1-2 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. God will call you to do something for him that may seem too difficult. It may be outside your comfort zone. He says, go big or go home, because he promises that if you step outside that zone and join with him, that he will take you on the adventure of your lifetime. And as Christ asks you to step out into that unknown with him, he also asks you to commit everything that you have. You may feel like you have nothing to give him, nothing to bring to the table, but as long as it's your everything, that's all that he desires, so that you can have that full, beautiful bond with God. This is the part of the song that becomes almost unbearably expansive, the fullest version of the melody possible. So I encourage you to enjoy it and to think about your relationship with God. What are you holding back from him? What has he asked you to do that you may be withholding? How can you go big or go home with him? Thank you, Father, that you have agreed to come be with us when we call out for you. Thank you that you have invited us into your space and that you want a relationship with us, and that it doesn't matter what we have to offer you because we in and of ourselves are precious to you. Thank you, Lord, for that gift. Please be with everyone as we move from this place today. In your name, amen.